Some club officials are scouring CCTV footage in a bid to find those responsible for mass violence which erupted at Upton Park as West Ham met Millwall in the Carling Cup last night. A man was stabbed in the chest when rivalry between fans boiled over into what police have described as large-scale trouble before the match. Bricks and bottles were lobbed as hundreds of supporters rioted, resulting in at least 10 arrests. Meanwhile, inside the ground, fans fought with police and stewards, and play was suspended when scores of supporters invaded the pitch. West Ham boss Gianfranco Zola said he'd never seen anything like it, and the FA has promised to investigate and to ban anyone found to have been involved for life.
Football is a pastime in much of Europe. It is a culture, a religion. People are prepared to die for their team. Although this passion can be somewhat healthy, there is a fog of unease over much of the European games. A select few supporters like to ruin the atmosphere and traditions of the beautiful game. Rivalries in sport are a typical and great part about sports. However, in the European game, some of these rivalries can be taken to the next level. Old firm derbies such as Rangers vs Celtic in Glasgow or the El Clasico between Barcelona and Real Madrid frequently create a platform for violence and hooliganism. People who attend these derbies specifically to go and watch a game or football often get more than what they bargain for. With riots, flares, fighting and disruptions in and around the ground, it can often be hard to escape the self-proclaimed hardcore fans. To them, the result of the match comes second, as this creates a wave of unease and will make you think twice about bringing your family to such games. The question remains, why does football hooliganism still exist in a much more controlled society? Alcohol, testosterone and football loyalty. But why does the government not employ more policing leading up to and around the grounds? How do you stop violent people coming to the game? Should anyone with a violent or criminal history not be allowed access to the games? It has been suggested that football sets up an expectation of violence, then does not settle it on the pitch, whereas sports like boxing, rugby, NFL leave nothing in the stadium. The question still remains as to whether or not the FA and FIFA are doing all they can to prevent the violence. To combat this, employing more police officers in and around the ground. A typical shift for one police officer is around £250. The other option to this is hiring multiple stewards, and this can halve the price of security. But this comes at a cost to the safety of the public, as stewards only have so many rights that they are allowed to enforce to the general public. They are essentially just peacekeepers. This is not such a problem for the richer clubs such as the Manchester Uniteds and the Barcelonas of football, as they have large numbers of police officers tending to them. The lower league clubs need to be handed extra cash by the FA. This was shown in a match between York City and Luton Town, where around 50 Luton players invaded the pitch shortly after the final whistle, sparking violent scenes in which it took 10 minutes for riot police to come and sort out the matter. Luton chairman Nick Owen stated that things were obviously being thrown, which is absolutely dreadful, and most of our fans would not condone it. However, this type of behaviour is obviously unacceptable in the sport, but can only be controlled with an influx of funding, which is especially hard to come by at a local level. Huge gulf in Europe between the lower level clubs and the high profile clubs. It often makes it difficult to place the limited supply of police officers around the country. The contrast of the business and the hooliganism stems from the fact that the football clubs were not founded by rich guys trying to make a few extra bucks. They were a social organization for the ethnic and religious groups that served as a community focal point. So when the wealthier and the poorer clubs meet, they fight. At the other end of the spectrum, many footballing clubs have organized hooliganism groups. They are tied unofficially to the club. These groups are called firms. And the owners of these clubs realize that it would be financial and possibly real suicide to eject these fans from the club. They bring in way too much profit for the lower league clubs, as these fans do represent a high proportion of the fans of one club. The business, politics and sport all tied to this one subject, making a catch-22. Without the sport, you don't have the hooligans. Without the hooligans, you don't have a business. And the politics between these two categories remain. Should non-violent supporters be at risk of violence because football clubs cannot function without these firms? Example of how hooliganism stems from a local to a national level was in the Euro 2000, where the match of the tournament, every fan was waiting for England versus Germany in Belgium. There was a large expectation before the match that there would be some sort of hooliganism. What occurred on the night of November 10, 2000 has lived long in the memory of many English supporters and brought a new level of politics to the world of football. Rioting occurred in the streets of the Belgian capital, Brussels. where as many as 40,000 English supporters without tickets to the game were expected to travel to the stadium. What occurred were not fights between rival nations England and Germany. The fights occurred between firm rivals in the pubs. The supporter said, "You could walk down that group and go Middlesbrough, Leeds, Tottenham, Bristol, Shrewsbury, Newcastle, and walk down that group and pick out the amount of troublemakers there were." Over 200 people were arrested. Luckily, much of the footage and media coverage of the riots were not recorded and thus were not shown around the world. But the following day, in a separate Belgium city, once again riots occurred. But this time, they were broadcast to the world. The result of these riots impacted the politics and businesses all around the country. It effectively ruined England's bid for the 2006 World Cup, ultimately going to Germany. As a football hooligan, this was a win for them. They have no desire to attend the World Cup in their own country. It's something you build up for and want to travel to. One hooligan stated, "The more damaging our actions, the better it is for us." As the FIFA World Cup is the most popular sporting event on the planet, it brings a huge amount of impact economically and socially to a country, as well as new infrastructure, business opportunities, and a huge tourism increase. Compounding all of this is hooligans' attitude to racism. In 2001 in Oldham, England, there was growing tension regarding Asians and English. Two young Asian men aged 12 and 13 were said to have caught and bashed an elderly English man. There was outrage around Oldham because of this occurrence, and lots of the Englishmen wanted to get back at the Asian community. As football tends to be a focal point of their community that represents them, it was a football match that sparked the violence on April 28th. Between Stoke City and Oldham Athletic, huge crowds swarmed the streets before the games. Afterwards, large swarms of Stoke City and Oldham fans banded together and proceeded on the housing commissions where much of the Asian community lived. Riots throughout the night subsequently occurred, resulting in fires, bashings, and lots of general damage, costing the community millions of dollars to housing, business, policing, and hospital bills. This political unrest around the community once again culminated from a League Two football game. Not enough police and old firm groups. This time, banding together. Proving my point that much of these fans do not come for the football, but for the violence. The football ends up just being a meeting place and a common issue. There is obviously such a huge gap in English football between the lower league clubs and the higher profile clubs. But for many of these fans, view that level that they can compete on is not the football pitch, but it's in the stands. It's the passion, the exhilaration, and the chance that your team might go one goal up. Obviously, a lot of the violence is unnecessary, but for many of these hooligans, it is how they have been brought up. It is the culture they have lived, and for many of these people, firms are their families. This hooliganism does still exist around all of England, but it is somewhat controlled. These firms are large-scale businesses for many clubs, publishing books, introducing new fans to the clubs, and of course, ticket sales. Many of these hooligans are seen as celebrity figures around Britain. There is obviously a lot of racial tension that occurs among rival fans and firms. And the FA must realise that although the violence should not be tolerated, there's a certain history that it represents, a tradition that many fans do not want to see die. And that is why it still has a place in society and will still in many years. London calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is putting the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing. Except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning.